WHL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Time for our weekly visit, Mr. Todd Furman. Just going to start with this question. So the Dodgers have, you know, so many players from Middle Tennessee. So surely, Todd, they are absolutely now going to win the World Series. We have a friend, Jim Wyatt, who covers the Titans. He's basically been just, I don't know, in the fetal position with joy since he found out about all these acquisitions. So surely the curse since 1988 ends, right, since they have everybody from Middle Tennessee now.
Yeah, I'm not so optimistic about the Dodgers' postseason outlook. I know their win total in the triple digits. You have to be excited about how dangerous and explosive that offensive lineup will look when you add Mookie Betts into the fold. And that's the reason they're now down to 9-2 at Foxbet, the second favorite behind only the Yankees. But the real question, Mickey, last I checked, when it comes to Major League Baseball, you have to record 27 outs every time you go out there to win a baseball game. And I'm still not sure where the Dodgers are going to hand the baton from their starting pitching to the relievers and feel comfortable with their 7th, 8th, and 9th inning situation.
As long as we're talking about baseball futures, where are the Astros? Are they going to even be able to hit a baseball this year?
I think the Astros will be fine. This is kind of them taking the us against the world mentality. I can't tell you, though, Brent, they're going to have a lot wider strike zone early in the season to have to deal with. And I'm sure the boys are going to get used to high and tight fastballs when they go on the road, especially into Oakland early in the campaign. But the Astros still priced at 6-1. They have a ton of talent offensively. You do wonder at the top of the rotation what it's going to look like without Gerrit Cole. We'll see how Justin Verlander performs. But all is not doom and gloom for the Astros. However, if there is a karma god when it comes to Major League Baseball, the Astros will not make the postseason in 2000.
You know, just to mess with them, if I'm a visiting team and I'm just some yokel on the bench that's not going to play, I start banging on a trash can in the clubhouse while the Astros are batting, just to give people pause.
Oh, I think that would be tremendous. And then I'd even go one step further. Maybe you get Ernie the Grouch in a trash can right in that hitter's eye in center field when they go on the road. Have him pop up and down, similar to what the Apple used to do at Old Shea Stadium. You have to do everything you can to get in these Astros players' heads, and I think it's going to be tough for them, especially on the road the first month of the season when they realize they're going to be under intense scrutiny, and I'm sure the umpires are not going to give them the benefit of the doubt once they step into the batter's box.
So, yeah, Oscar the Grouch, we got to work on your Sesame Street knowledge. One day there'll be little Todds running around. You can't mess that up.
Well, I'm in no hurry for that, Mickey, so the longer we can slow down my Sesame Street knowledge, the better off it is for all of America.
Man, I was going to say, do we have an announcement to make here?
Yeah.
No, I leave that to Dawn. She's the only one that gets to announce the birth of future children on these airwaves. So you guys cannot get excited about my offspring gracing this fine planet anytime.
Hey, is there any kind of betting handle on the Westminster Dog Show?
There is not, to what I've seen. Some of the offshore books will put up lower limits where you can bet the breed to win best of show and everything else. But it's not what I would call a very highly sought-after betting market. I'm sure somewhere along the way, as people look to identify an edge, you'll be able to take a live underdog in that particular pool.
Yeah, don't bet on the Golden Retriever.
Or the Lab. Neither
can't
neither
win.
Breed.
Man's best friend.
Popular breeds in America. Neither has ever won it.
You know what? Nobody wants to look for a trendy favorite in any capacity. You have to go a little bit off the radar to find a breed that's going to kind of crash the party.
It's pretty funny. Like, they were showing Westminster highlights while we're sitting in the studio. And Dog was getting ready to go do his thing, and then he like dropped down and did his thing, and the handler just lost it. Like, oh my God,
it's
everything
our big
we worked
squandered.
For, and you know, you're just pooping it away.
People take that very seriously, and any dog that's going to go out there and perform to the best of his or her ability, they know they can do it. When they lessen the load a little bit, they can move a little bit quicker.
Hey, is Vanderbilt coach Derek Mason going to get this Colorado gig or what?
You know what? It's interesting when you look at Colorado and the direction they're going to go. I mean, it's no knock on Derek Mason because I think it's probably easier to win in the Pac-12 South than what he's got to go through in the SEC East year in, year out. You'd have to think, and to be honest, I haven't kept up to it today to see what kind of developments we've seen since Mel Tucker bolted for Michigan State. If you're Colorado, you do everything and then some to try and get Eric Bieniemy away from his offensive coordinator post at Kansas City. You try and bring back one of your own. But I think the one thing that continues to work against the Pac-12 is the fact that there's no money in the Pac-12 network deal. So when you're a second or even a third-tier program like Colorado has become in recent years, you're not going to have your pick of the litter. And unfortunately, this is the end result where a second-tier team in the Big Ten can poach your lead head coach by essentially doubling his salary after National Signing Day. Mm.
What you think about the XFL? I'll ask you that. And also, how in the world do people handicap games of a league that had never played a game? That's fascinating to me.
Well, I think the level of play leaves a little bit to be desired right out of the gates. Clearly, when you have offenses that haven't been together for all that long, they were going to be a step behind the defenses. From the folks that I'd spoken to, there had been less than a handful of practices where all these teams had tackled. So it was going to be a much different dynamic. Now, as far as setting numbers, oddsmakers are going to go through every player on that roster. They're going to cultivate their own individual numbers for each player. Totals get to be a little bit more challenging, but give them two or three data points, and all of a sudden this market will get much more efficient. We have seen major moves, though, for week two. The D.C. Defenders actually opened as low as a 2.5-point favorite out here in the desert. They've now been bet up to a 5.5-point favorite against the New York Guardians. And when you look at the Houston Roughnecks game against the Battlehawks, they were right around a field goal favorite, that number out to 7.5. I think St. Louis a little bit overvalued by virtue of their outright win catching 9.5 against the Renegades team that was ill-equipped at the quarterback position, knowing that they were going with third-string quarterback Philip Nelson, given the injuries to Eric Dungy and Landry Jones.
That's fantastic, Todd.
So would you have some advice?
Set all those names, those ridiculous battle bots and dingleberries and all these horrible things.
If you had some advice for people that were wanting to get into the XFL betting market, what advice would you offer them?
Well, I think the one nice thing about it is the way the games are scattered across Saturday and Sunday, that you can watch all eight teams and familiarize yourselves with them. It's not as though you're trying to keep up with 32 teams like the National Football League. Now, the information when you search the internet and you read articles isn't going to be nearly as in-depth as what you've grown accustomed to for the professional ranks or even college football. So therein lies a little bit of the challenges. But you're going to see huge overreactions, huge swings, and ultimately the odds makers are at the same disadvantage as the player early on because they're trying to figure out exactly what the drop-off looks like from the first team to the second team. And the one thing you know in a league like this, there's not going to be the same amount of depth. So you almost want to handicap this league a lot more like mid-major college football, where the drop-off from QB1 to QB2 isn't going to be Alabama. It's going to be a lot more like you'll see in Conference USA.
Yeah, so like how many points is Landry Jones worth?
Well, I mean, given the fact that Philip Nelson completed 30 passes for less than 200 yards, you'd make the case that Landry's probably a 5.5 to 6-point adjustment once he gets the full speed from the torn MCL. And I think the team that you're going to want to watch more than any will be the LA Wildcats when they get Josh Johnson back. He's expected to miss this week, so it looks like the Princeton grad, Chad Knoff, will get his second start. We'll see if he can finish this game, something he wasn't able to do last week.
Todd Furman, our XFL betting expert.
Boom. All right, let's talk a little Tom Brady and little Phillip Rivers. Latest odds on where those two guys might land.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Phillip Rivers' next team right now at Fox Bet, the Indianapolis Colts are the favorite at a price of 2-1. The Tampa Bay Bucks right behind them at 2.5-1. The third favorite on the board is that Phillip Rivers will go unsigned or ultimately retire at 5-1. And then there's a logjam of teams highlighted by the Chicago Bears, Dolphins, Panthers, and Raiders. And then the long shots on the board, both the Patriots and Titans. Now, if you look at Tom Brady, the Patriots still the heavy favorite to retain his services at a price of about 1-3. The only other two teams in single digits at Fox Bet, the Las Vegas Raiders at 5-1, the LA Chargers at 9-1. And for Titan fans that were buying into the rumors you guys were trying to share during Super Bowl week, 18-1 that there will be some level of him getting reunited with one of his best friends in football, Mike Vrabel.
What do you ultimately think happens?
I actually am going to stand by the stance I took early on that one of the more logical landing spots for Tom Brady would be a member of the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah.
And at a price of 9-1, it's hard for me to ignore knowing that he can be the face of a franchise. They can cut him a 2-year deal. They can overpay him. They go out and then draft Justin Herbert, whoever they want, with a 6th overall pick. Mm-hmm. Give them a year or two in the system and make that transition significantly easier, almost Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers-esque, than throwing a new quarterback into the fold. The real question you have to ask is, does Tom Brady get along with Anthony Lynn? Can they see them on the same page going forward? I just think that when you know how star-studded that Brady family is, what better way to convince your wife you should be able to play football for another couple of years than telling her she's going to get to move to Los Angeles?
What about the Daytona 500? Kyle Busch, 0-14. Does he get it done?
You know what? At a price of 10-1, given what we saw in the Clash last weekend, I wouldn't be betting any of these drivers at a shade less than 15-1. I'm not going to rule out any of the big names, whether it's a Kyle Busch, whether it's a Denny Hamlin. But knowing that 6 out of 18 cars that entered the race were able to finish would have me looking for a lot more long shots. So a trio of 4 drivers, kind of a middle tier, a favorite, a value pick, and a long shot, have caught my eye. Ryan Blaney at 14-1. You look at the way he's performed when he's actually finished the race without a wreck, a couple of top 10 finishes. Matt DiBenedetto joins Wood Brothers Racing in the 21 car. He's going to have excellent equipment, and his talent might be one of the things you're going to want to keep tabs on early in the year, a guy who did more with less a season ago. And if you're looking for a real long shot, Chris Buescher has performed well here, two top five finishes, much better equipment as he joins Roush Fenway this season. He'll be racing the 17. And we've seen Ricky Stenhouse do quite a bit of damage on plate tracks. So I think Chris Buescher could be a guy that all you want to do is run in the top 10 and have a chance to win the race late if you're holding a ticket in that 45 to 60 range.
So what does Valentine's Day romance look like for Todd Furman in Las Vegas?
Well, full disclosure here, and I know my girlfriend doesn't listen to the radio show. I dropped the ball in the dinner reservation I tried to book. So we were actually going out for Valentine's Day dinner tomorrow night instead of on Friday. We'll come up with a contingency plan that may consist of a movie or something along those lines. We'll get into the restaurant we want. It'll just be the night before. It's a lot like when you celebrate New Year's Eve 24 hours in advance.
All right. Well, good luck surviving the weekend with that one.
Hey, I do what I can. I should win boyfriend of the year for some of the things that I go through on a day-to-day basis. She tolerates me during football season, and she knows I have to tolerate her the rest of the year. So it works both ways.
Well, I hope she's not listening to any of this.
You're such a softy, Todd.
Hey, what can I say, guys? I'm a true romantic at heart, a true sentimentalist. And that was part of the reason that I could never ultimately become the 3HL bachelor you guys tried to make me years ago when I was still single and on the available market.
I know. I think Matty Lou's still out there, Todd.
I was waiting for that jab. I was waiting for that jab one way or another. She was actually leading the campaign trying to marry me off. The opportunities then went by, and I apparently will not settle down with a Southern Belle anytime soon.
All right. We'll set odds on that next week. Thank you, Todd.
Well, hopefully she won't listen then either, Mickey. So I appreciate you really looking out for my peace and happiness at home. Have a great Valentine's Day, gents. I know both your wives could do better, but I'm glad they settled for the two of
you. Thank you, Todd.
Todd Furman on 104.5 The Zone. Presented by Mark Spain Real Estate. Great. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
Matt Duchesne joined us earlier. We